This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report. Scala.com is a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage, paying great deal of attention to the global economy and the domestic economy simultaneously. I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, to comment on these discordant headlines in these last hours. For example, jobless claims, U.S. Wall Street Journal reporting, jobless claims rise to new 2022 high. For example, OPEC cuts oil demand forecasts as economic growth slows. On the other hand, we have a report about inflation just following in these hours in July, not spiking. The president presents it as 0% growth, and that's true from June to July. But it remains uncomfortably high for food prices and underneath that energy prices. Though I do have the Wall Street Journal reporting that gasoline prices fall below $4 a gallon nationally. There's one other item that seems pertinent to where we are in the economic cycle, because the debate about slowdown is no longer enjoined. The debate about using the word recession is controversial. So I stay with slowdown or contraction. And then we have this from Barron's. Homes are staying on the market longer. We finally hit the turning point, comments. During the last week in July, the median home sat on the market one day longer than the same week a year ago, according to weekly Realtor.com data. While one day might not sound significant, writes Barron's, it was the first time the weekly metric has increased since June of 2020. Chris, a very good evening to you. Gasoline prices below $4 a gallon. On the other hand, one day longer on the market if you're seeking to sell your home, and a rise in jobless claims. What do you see, given that your business is business to business, especially with franchises, retail, and hospitality? Do you see a continued hesitation? Do you see that the inflation information is influencing future orders? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. It's certainly impacting large companies' planning. So in many of the Fortune 500 customers that we serve, you're seeing increasing rounds of layoffs. So you have a really interesting scenario where companies are struggling for workers in certain areas, and in other areas are doing noticeably larger and larger rounds of layoffs. So I think the best way to state it is that you're seeing many companies that are preparing for what could be a relatively rough recession. And then many of the forward-looking indicators, advertising industry is seeing a significant slowdown. You're seeing a slowdown in other sectors in manufacturing that lead to finished products. So there's certainly lots of signs of a slowdown and starting to see more and more substantial layoffs across industries.
And that is the domestic market, where we're given to understand the hiring remains strong. You saw that number just reported by the Department of Labor and the Department of Commerce. The jobs are plentiful. People are being hired. Is that reflected in the hesitation of the, say, the hospitality services that you link with?
In many of the hospitality services where you're talking about generally lower paid workers, the ability to get any workers still remains relatively challenging. But as gas prices have continued to increase or maybe now starting to moderate a bit, you're seeing workers that are coming back into the workforce, but many workers that are taking two or three jobs simultaneously. So it'd be a very interesting statistic to be able to track how many workers are working one, two, three jobs to be able to make ends meet in this inflationary spiral.
The jobs numbers are very positive. Emphasize travel as a place of a great deal of hiring. That would translate into better airports, better bus stations, better railroads. Do you see it, because you travel across the U.S. back and forth, do you see a change in the atmosphere, the weather at airports or on aircraft?
The sector continues to seem to heal itself. You're seeing more services in airports. You're seeing more travelers in airports. That trend has continued, even though the airlines are now starting to dial back number of flights because of shortages of crew and other. But the airline industry seems to be healing and becoming more and more efficient in this new normal or whatever that is. The question will really be to see if that sustains through the balance of the year. as you're seeing several large corporations across the U.S. start to curtail business travel in Q3 and Q4 to try to make their numbers for the quarters.
I remember your comments during the depths of the pandemic. This is 2020, 2021. And going through airports was like going through a ghost town. Is that gone now? Are airports showing active development of the franchises returning?
Very full, but also very lightly staffed from the services perspective. So the customers are back, but the ability to serve them is still somewhat restricted in many of those environments. Many of the shops are back, so it's going the right way.
You have business in Europe. Europe is right now under climate emergency because of the drought. At the same time, they have long-term concerns about having adequate energy for the winter and for the winter of 24 as well. Is your business in the UK or in Europe reflecting a caution for a recession, caution for the high cost of energy? Can you see it already?
I would say yes. You're seeing kind of two different things going on. In the UK, the consumer continues to be hammered pretty hard by the spiraling energy costs, but the business environment in the UK is still quite good. On the continent, specifically in Germany, you're starting to see, not only because of shortage of natural gas, but now of water on the Rhine River and barge traffic being restricted, you're seeing more and more pressure on the heavy industrials in Germany to be able to make both electricity from coal as well as steel, aluminum, other things, where they need to be able to move product on and off the Rhine as a main area of transport. And with the drought that's hit Europe this summer, that's starting to have a pretty big impact on the industrial sector in Germany.
The Po River Valley, the Danube River Valley, the Rhine River Valley are under extreme drought conditions. To Asia, the non-transparent People's Republic of China, where you do business, we know they're in a political cycle. Xi Jinping is looking for his third general secretaryship soon enough, chosen by the leadership, which is non-transparent. However, we have an economic picture that, even with the poor reporting or the untrustworthy reporting, shows a severe slowdown, probably a property bubble, but also manufacturing is hesitating and the shipping is hesitating. Now, the Taiwan crisis, it's been in the news these last weeks. Does it touch business in Asia now? Can you see a hesitation because war is imminent?
I think you're seeing more caution. Taiwan and China, while politically separated at the business side, are codependents. So many of the Taiwanese key companies will have manufacturing operations in China. Many of the Chinese product vendors will buy significant amounts of components from Taiwan. If you saw a full economic blockade of Taiwan by the Chinese, it would, to a certain extent, boomerang back on the Chinese because there's a lot of trade between the two countries. That being said, all bets are off until Mr. Xi either takes a position or decides what that future will be, whether it be peace or war.
And we come to the American story, the positives. The CHIPS Act, so-called, just passed by Congress, much ballyhooed. We've talked about this for some time because of Intel's intention to build in Ohio. Is that going forward, Chris? Has there been any interruption in the planning in Ohio or other states looking to develop a homegrown microchip manufacturing?
All indications are that the Ohio developments, as well as TSMC's developments in Arizona, are continuing. I think the key point to understand, though, is that the CHIPS Act at $52 billion is a good start relative to industrial policy towards microchips. But for the industry in the U.S. to be able to compete on a global level into the future, there has to be a better central policy relative to how to make the industry more competitive. That doesn't necessarily have to mean simply funding. That could be tax breaks. That could be other incentives. But if the U.S. is serious about maintaining chip dominance, there has to be a better and more thought out policy than just this first step.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.